series of parallels, types, shadows, Old Testament, New Testament. We're tying scriptures together from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Some people view the Old Testament as, you know, something that doesn't need to be observed. It's a law, the Mosaic law, that there's this warmonging God in the Old Testament and this loving Savior in the New Testament. And that's so far from the truth. That's not how your Bible is. There's an Old Testament. There is a New Testament. But I want you to know it's the same God through the whole Bible. Amen. It wasn't just, I'll leave that alone. Exodus 33:18 is our Old Testament passage. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Stop right there just for a minute. If you're a Calvinist in here today, then that means that God picks who he's going to show mercy to and who he's going to show grace to. That's a scripture that's used in Calvinistic teaching. I want to take you to John 3:16 real fast. For God so loved the world. Look at the person beside you and say, that's everybody. That's everybody. All right, now I got my lick in. I'm going to keep going, okay? He said, thou cannot see my face, and there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand that thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people that have gathered here together in your name. God, as we break the bread of life, help us, Lord, to be attentive. Help us, Lord, to listen. Not only listen, but help us to understand. And not only understand, Lord, but help us apply the truth that we have learned today. Thank you for the bread of life. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said amen. If you're going to help me preach, you can sit down. If not, stand up with me. Revelation 6:12-17 will be my New Testament passage. It's got a whole different tune to it, a whole different feeling to it. And it's the opening of the sixth seal. Revelation 6:12 says, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Verse 15 is a very sobering scripture. And the kings of the earth, and the great man, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty man, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Look at the person beside you and repeat those last four words. Wrath of the Lamb. It's a concept that we don't hear preached a whole lot about. We preach about the mercy of God. We preach about the goodness of God. Because if you thought that the Old Testament was a warmonging God that killed all the ites, as Jason said, the mosquito bites and the termites and all the ites, and you thought that coming to the New Testament there was a God that winked at sin and loved everybody, he does, but we have a misconception, and we make this statement all the time, and I'm going to clarify that as long as I can. God loves me just like I am. No, God loves you in spite of how you are, and God would love to change you if you're not saved. So let's not, God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin, but it's the sinner that he cast into hell. So let's be very clear that there is wrath in the Lamb. Because God is holy, God is righteous, God is pure. There's a saying that you get more with vinegar, or you get more with sugar than you do vinegar, honey, than vinegar. right? But here's the problem. If we always sugarcoating everything, I seen this thing one time, and it was a motivational shirt to lose weight, and it said, "You need to lose weight. I'm not going to sugarcoat this because you'll eat that too." I don't want to sugarcoat the gospel, but I want to tell you, God is love, but there is a side of God, Sam, that demands wrath, and it's the holiness of God. The next verse says, "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" Let me start by saying there will be a day that God pours out his wrath on ungodly men. There will be a day that the Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive with men. AJ, there will be a day that people will sit in a service and the Spirit will not strive with them. He will not call them. I'm not a dispensationalist, but I do believe that there are time periods in which God works. I believe there's things that are allotted and there's times and there's seasons. And I believe right now he has turned to the Gentiles. And I believe we have this day of grace and this day of mercy that if you're in here and you're not a Jew, you can be saved. Because salvation is to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And we're all barbarians outside of the Jewish nation. But God has made through his Son provision that you can be saved as a Gentile. But there will come a day that door will be shut. There's coming a day when God begins to pour out his wrath on ungodly men. You got to catch this. The great men, the mighty men, the bond men, they're all the same. They're trying to find a place to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. I want to insert this into your thinking very quickly. There is no place that you can hide on this earth from the wrath of the Lamb of God. There's no mountain you can climb to that he can't find you. There is no depth you can go to that he can't find you. Not on this earth. They run to the mountains. They run, and it's very interesting to me that they run to the rocks. They run to the rocks to try to find this place of safety. The Old Testament scripture already told us that there is a place in the rocks that you can hide from him. The problem is you don't get to put yourself there. You're not the one that gets to put yourself in the hiding place. Let me ask you this question. You don't have to answer it because I know it's already true. You've been saved. How long have you been saved? It doesn't really matter. But there are times in your life where you ask yourself this question. When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, do I have enough? Has anybody ever asked yourself that question? Will it be enough? Will my faith be enough? What I believe enough? Or maybe you're a little more primitive and you make this statement. Have I done enough? Because we live in a world that feels like they're going to make it on their merit. You try to lead people to Christ, Brother Ed, and you know what they tell you? I'm a good person. I'm a good person. There are some people that are gooder than others, but they're still not going to make it into heaven. Let me say it like this. I think, Robin, when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised that there are some people there that we didn't think was going to be there. And I also think there's going to be some people missing that we really thought was going to be there. Because it's easy for me to put up a front and make you believe that I'm doing everything and everything's all right. But I wonder about Moses. When I read this story of Moses and I read how he asked to see the glory of God. I don't know if you caught this or not, but God said, I'm going to show you my goodness. He said, my face you can't see, but I'm going to let my goodness pass before you. But he said, my glory, we behold the glory in the face of God. He said, but you can see my hinder parts. I just want to throw this in there just to give you something to chew on. A lot of people believe that this is when God showed Moses the hinder parts, the past parts. And they believe that this is when Moses got the revelation to write the book of Genesis. So at this time, he's showing him the back part. From in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And began to write, and he showed him. There had to be a point he showed him because Moses wrote the first five books. So he reveals to him the things of the past. But I want you to notice what happens here. If you're one of those people that ask this question, am I doing enough to get into heaven? Am I really doing enough? I want you to watch what happens when God lets his goodness pass before Moses. The Bible says that it's God that put Moses in the cleft of the rock. Moses, he didn't say, Moses, climb the mountain. And if you climb the mountain and you get into that spot before I come by, you'll make it. If not, you toast. So hurry, Moses. Run, run. Moses is going up the mountain. I've been running for Jesus for a long time. Hope I make it. Been running for Jesus for a long time. I'm striving, trying to make 100. Because 99 and a half won't do. Let me tell you what happened. 99 and a calf won't do. Some of that's over your head, but man, that's good right there. You're trying to get good enough to get into the kingdom of God. Can I tell you this? You'll never get good enough to be put into the kingdom of God. But notice what's tied in with all this language. He said, I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. I'll show grace on whom I'll show grace. So by the grace of God, the Bible says, Moses was put into the cleft. If you don't know what a cleft is, it's a small opening. So Moses has God put him in the cleft of the rock. Sam, not only did God put him in there, but God put his hand over him. It's God that does the work of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You can't get good enough to be saved. That's why you got a Savior that's good enough to save you. You can't get perfect enough to make it into this kingdom. You can't live righteous enough to go to heaven. That's why you need a God that puts you in the rock, in the place of safety, and puts his hand over you. You're not strong enough to keep yourself. If salvation was a gift and it was up to you to keep it, you'd mess it up. Can I get another amen? You would mess it up. How many things do you mess up? Mike, how long you been driving that brown truck? 28 years. Do you ever still do goofy stuff? After 28 years, what's the matter with you? You should have figured it out by now. But you know what happens? You know what kind of people make mistakes? Humans. You would mess it up. If I gave you, we were talking the other night, and you know, these singers get up here and sing, and they do, man, did they do a good job today or what? Man, they did a great job. Not only did they sing pretty, and man, they can sing pretty. And one of them is real pretty. Not only can they sing pretty, it's not you, Aaron, I promise. But man, when the anointing comes in, when the anointing starts moving, and I was talking to Aaron, and I said, man, you could come in and you could do every song perfect, never miss a note, hit every octave, have prayed every time, and man, it just, God just shows up. And you could try to duplicate that Wednesday and it wouldn't work. The reason is there'll be different people sitting in the congregation with different needs, and God's going to do something different. We try to carbon copy God and make it work the same way every time. Can I tell you this? Not everybody that gets saved at an altar. Some people get saved beside a dozer, and some people get saved at the kitchen sink, and some people get saved at a bar, and some people get saved at a football game, and some people get, hey, I'm talking about a God that has grace and mercy, and he don't care where you're at. When he gets ready to call you, he calls you. Oh, man, what mercy. But it's him that puts you in the rock. I will say this until I'm old. I don't need your comments. I just need amens. You know what we do? We got people that try to schedule God in. I got a dentist appointment Tuesday. Wednesday morning, I got to go see the little Chinese lady and get my nails done. She do this for me. And then Wednesday night, I think I'll go to church and get saved. You don't get to write that on your calendar. You don't get to schedule it in. Because if he's not drawing and he ain't calling, you ain't coming. But while mercy's here, and while grace is here, and while there's an opportunity here, I want to step out and do what God's asked me to do while it's still day, because there's coming a night when no man can work. He said, I'm going to put you in this rock. I'm going to put my hand over you. Man, I'm a little off my rock. I know it's about this rock, but man, he put you in the rock. And when he put you in the rock, come here, I got to put you in a rock. When he put you in that opening, I want you to notice what happens. God, it's a big rock, he said, big opening. He comes and he puts his hand over you. Well, let me tell you something about the hand of God for just a minute. He said, those that are in my hand, he said, I've not lost one of them. If you got the hand of God on your life right now, I want to tell you, it's better than Allstate. You're in a good spot. You're in a real good spot, because he ain't never going to lose you. He ain't never going to leave you. He ain't never going to forsake you. And if God's got you, God's got you. I'm glad to know this ain't on me, but I'm in the hand of God. Are you in the hand of God? Are you in the rock? Because it's a day coming when the wrath will be poured out on the ungodly. Shane, this is not in my notes, man. I'm freelancing right now. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Let's just go through this. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the what? What was Moses looking for? The glory of God. What was the problem? The problem was Moses was sinful. You know what the problem is? Even though Moses wrote the law can't justify. Man, you'd think Moses was a real good dude, and he was. He was there when God wrote the law. Gary, the problem was the law couldn't justify him. He was still a sinner. So you know what he needed? He needed a lamb. Brother Eddie taught us in the beginning it was a lamb for one man. We see that with Cain and Abel. Abel offered his sacrifice, one man. We go a little farther and we find out that it's a lamb for one family. We go a little bit farther and we find out that it's a lamb for a nation. We go a little bit farther and we find out it's a lamb for the whole world. Now that lamb was the final lamb. I see the progression. He needed a lamb. Moses needed a lamb. Even though he wrote the law, even though he was there when it was written, he still needed a lamb. But he said, God, I want to see something greater. I want to see your glory. We know we glory in tribulation also. Can you do that? Can you give God glory even when trials are on you? You got to know something to do that. Because you come in here. Raise your hand if you classify yourself as emotional. Raise your hand if you're emotional. Keep your hand up. I want to see you emotional people. Wow. We have a really emotional church. Pal, that's why we're here. That's why we're not down at the Methodist church, because we're emotional. Like, you better be glad we're. How many people here are not emotional? Raise your hand if you're not emotional. Look around at all the dead folks. Let me tell you what happens. When trials come, if you get emotional about your trial, you'll forget things. You ever seen somebody get real emotional? Robin, can I tell them about the elevator? Okay. Man, this is the fastest thing I ever seen in my life. We get on an elevator. We're on vacation at the ocean. Christian, don't go to the beach because there's all kinds of bad stuff down there. We go to the ocean. We look past all that. So we're at the ocean. And we get on an elevator, and I'm not sure, Jason, you have to clarify this later. I don't know if he meant to not push the button or he pushed the button and it didn't work, but I know Jason. Robin will not get on elevators. But she did that day, and it didn't move. And Jason made
Oh, Lord.
She cried in 2 seconds. It was the fastest tear. I was surprised. I said, Jason, push what, man? She's going to turn into somebody different here in a minute. Either open the door or let's get out. We got to do something. It was like, oh, God, Jason! It was instant tears. Instant. We wasn't moving, Robin. We were okay still. But what happens is when your emotions hit, you know what leaves you? Logic. Logic. Let your baby cry. Let your kid be out in the yard. Let him say, Mom! Listen, kids, holler at your dad. They're usually more calm. Mom!
Oh, what is it? They're dead!
No! No! No, they want a popsicle, man. Good. It's all good. When your emotions take over, you start forgetting what you know. That's why he said, we glory in tribulation also. That means you can look at the trial and you can say, hey, I feel stuck right now, but I know God's going to get me out of this elevator. Hey, I feel like things ain't going the way they need to be going, but I know God. And I know he's got me in the rock. And I know I'm protected from the elements of this world because he has his hand on me. The Bible likens Jesus to the rock for this reason. There is only one place where we can escape the wrath of God, and that's in the rock. That's in him. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given. Keep going, Shane. We're on down here now. Given unto us. I want you to watch these next couple of verses. For when we're yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Do you know what that means? That means if a guy's righteous, he's living by the book, he's walking the chalk, he's a good guy, there's very few people that would die for him. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good guy, he's not righteous, he's just good, he's pretty good. Some would even dare to die. There's a few that would even die for him. But watch this. God commended his love toward us when we weren't righteous, we weren't good, we were yet sinners. That's when Christ died for us. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. And if I'm not, Elder Tucker can rebuke me when he listens to this. But if you're not a Christian, you're stupid. Let me give scripture to it. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. That's the King James Version. The other was my version. My translation, silly. You crazy. If you're not saved, you're crazy. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Look at this bargain. Look at what goes on. Next verse. Watch what's coming. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let me tell you about a rock. The fire's coming. But let me tell you, there's a rock that's already endured the fire. The earth was destroyed with water. If you don't believe it, you just come on up to the coal mine. I'll show you some ferns and some rocks and some fossils. And everybody's like, how'd them plants get under there? Well, there was a major upheaval one day. And things got turned around. And not only did it rain 40 days and 40 nights, but the fountains of the deep opened up. Things got flipped around. And as the water settled, things landed in certain order.
Woo! Glory. This is Bible here. We mining coal because the Bible said we're going to mine coal. Ferns and fossil fuels and all this is going on because Noah had a flood. The reason Noah had a flood was because God looked at man and it repented him that he made man, and he decided to destroy them all. But one man found grace in the sight of God, because God is just a gracious God. And he said, hey, Noah, I need you to build a boat. And if you need a boat built, I know a guy. Okay, keep going. So he builds this and he's saved. So God puts a rainbow in the sky, and the sign of the rainbow has been perverted. But you know what? Every time I see it, I say, you know what? That's a good thing you got there, because God said he's not going to destroy mankind anymore with water. With water. But Peter said, the earth that is now is reserved unto judgment, unto fire. The song said it like this. God told Noah. Told him in a rainbow sign, said it won't be water, but far next time. It's coming. It's coming. The judgment of God is coming. Did you see what that said? The wrath of God. The wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Let me ask you this real quick. If a tornado was coming, would you rather be in a house made of sticks, straw, or rock? Rock. Rock. Well, there's a story of this three little pigs. I don't know. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who we have now received the atonement. Do you realize what this is saying? Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. The Bible says death reigned from Adam to Moses. The law came and made provision that a man could be forgiven for 1 year. The law made that provision. Oh, can I preach to you right now? When the law was given on the same mountain, the blueprint of the tabernacle was given as well. What does that mean? That means God gave him the law and said, by the way, I know they can't keep this law, so I want to make a tabernacle where they can shed some blood and be forgiven and get into my presence. Whoa, that's, whoa, I can't, glory. Sometimes you just got to go, whoa. No, I do. I do. Yeah, y'all do too. Y'all do. You in church? Not a fair comparison. No, it ain't fair at all. You sure ought to be worshiping Jesus more than you. Some of y'all all upset because Bob Huggins' basketball is horrible. It's a horrible system. Some of you guys, I'm just talking to y'all. Do y'all like John? I'm leaving alone. Wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Next verse. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. How would you like for that to be that way? What does that mean? What does that mean? It means if there's no law, how cool would it be for there not to be speed limit signs? Come on, raise your hand if you'd love to see that day. Just like take them all down. Yeah, you say that until you're going through a neighborhood, 80 miles an hour. You run over your grandma's cat or your grandma. You're morbid. I went cat. You'd say, oh, I'm so glad there wasn't a sign. Somebody's going to be upset at you.
They're saying, man, I wish there was a sign. I wish there was a law to slow these heathens down. And I don't know why it's like that, but when you're driving down the road and people in front of you are going too slow, they're an idiot. I don't know what's wrong with this idiot. I don't know why they won't go. And then they go blowing by. You're like, what's wrong with that maniac? That people, you can't be satisfied. Sin's not imputed where there is no law. So if you're going down the road and the officer pulls you over and says, hey, do you know how fast you were going? And you could say, I don't care. There ain't no law. Here's the problem when you leave people with no law. They become right in their own eyes. When they become right in their own eyes, they cause harm to other people. And when they cause, that's why God stepped in, because God loves you, but he loves your neighbor too. Is this all right? Are you learning something? But the problem is with law is there has to be consequences. Set a curfew, Michael. Set a curfew for your beautiful little daughter back there. Just set you a curfew. But don't enforce it. Watch how far that's going to get you. Oh, you raised Jacob. It's different. It's different when them boys come around. Say amen, preacher. What's the use in having a law if there's no consequences to the law? You say, well, fear shouldn't be a motivator. I pay my taxes because of fear. And it's a good motivator. I'm scared what they'll do to me. Fear is a motivator. It worked. It worked. Some people did what the law said because they was afraid of the consequences. Somehow we've taken the consequences out of the equation. We live in a society that doesn't believe in consequences. Somebody say amen louder. Everybody gets a participation trophy. Even if they can't play. Good job, Billy. No, that was awful, Billy. Go home and practice, lazy bum. And I know we argue, I know we have differing opinions on this, and I know that. Well, if they try their hardest, I get it. If they try their hardest, recognize that they're trying their hardest, but some of them don't. We're rewarding people for nothing. This may be awful, but I was a Sunday school teacher, and a teenage boy came in, and he said, hey, man, I got like 16th place in cross country. I said, who cares? He said, man. I said, what color was your ribbon, pink? I mean, there's gold, silver, and bronze, and after that, people, it don't matter. I said, when did we start celebrating mediocrity? Here's the problem. We take this into our spiritual life. I hate to inform you, but you don't get just, well, I participated in church, and God gave me a reward. No, he said, either I knew you or I didn't know you. And let me tell you how he knows you. He puts you in the rock. He puts you in the rock. God, am I doing enough? God, am I doing enough? Do you got faith in the work of Jesus Christ? Is that where your faith lies? Do you really believe that the blood of Jesus is enough? Do you really believe that it's enough to put you in him, and in him you are safe? We have salvation and justification, and we're saved from wrath. Listen, I don't know where you live, but I live in this rock, and I don't care how hot it gets on the outside, it'll never get on the inside. I don't care how windy it gets on the outside, it'll never get to what's on the inside, because my Savior has already been through the fiery judgment, and he's already withstood the wrath of God. And when the wrath of God comes, I got a hiding place in the rock. Oh, glory. Isaiah 25:5. Come on, musicians. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Hoo, ha. Yeah! Awesome scripture for this sermon, Pastor. Thank you. Because their walls were made out of stone. As a storm against the wall. Where do I hide? And they used to sing that song all the time. I can just remember Pastor LeGrand played the guitar and he swayed like this. He said, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Give me a guitar. Where? To the what?
To the mountain.
To the mountain. And the mountain stands by me. I go to the rock. I go to the rock. He's my fortress. Randy, he's my hiding place. I'm in him. He put me in him by his grace. And he put his hand over me. So what does he want you to do? He wants me to stay in there and see his goodness. I said he wants me to stay in him and see his goodness. Gary, I don't think it's by coincidence that he looked at Peter and he said, upon this, I'll build my church. Men are going to try to hide from the wrath of God in earthly places. You cannot hide from God's wrath in an earthly place. Well, preacher, I tell you, I'm going to build me a bunker way below the earth's surface. You might live through the wrath of the Chinese government. Can I get serious with you for just a minute? China said it's not a matter of if we go to war with the United States. It's a matter of when. You say, you trying to scare me? I'm trying to let you know that there's coming a day when it gets too late. It's a scary time if you're lost. If you're lost, it's a scary time. But man, if you're in the rock, it's like, don't threaten me with heaven. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. How can you laugh at a time like this? It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. I don't even know if I can say that, but I said it. Why do you feel fine? Because I'm in the rock, man. I've been in here for a long time, and I realize what it means to be in here, and I'm safe in here because to die is gain. I see people setting up, Jason, trying to figure out when Jesus is coming back, exactly the time, and they write books, and they say this, and they say that. I don't know if they look at it like I look at it, but I look at it like this. He went away to get a kingdom, and he said, occupy till I come. I'm coming back, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay right here, raise my hand, give him glory, love him, spread his gospel, and whenever he comes back, that's fine with me. Preacher, do you think we're going to have to go through tribulation? Yes, because Jesus said in the world you'll have tribulation. No, I mean the great tribulation. I don't have it all figured out yet, but I know this. If we do, I got enough to make it through and still have my praise in my heart. Because I know the rock. Do you know the rock? Come on, let's stand up one more time. We're going to worship. Do you know the rock?